of Christ himself preaching to us from the gift of Lord. What a blessing that will be. And we'll be forced to say concerning every single passage he deals with or subject, I just didn't have that. And tonight's message is certainly on second that we will not even wade ankle deep in this ocean of glory here. Well, the purpose of this story, as with all the truth, Paul said in Romans 15, whatsoever things are written aforetime, are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The children of Israel here in this story, God's people, were in a seemingly hopeless situation. I mean, they were in a mess. And it was because of their own sinfulness is why they got in this predicament. But we're going to see that they had hope. They had a good hope. The God of their hope. And we have the same hope. All right, look at the first six verses with me. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. 7 years they were deceived by this enemy. And the hand of Midian, what Midian prevailed against Israel. It says they dwelled in dens and mountains and caves and strongholds. That rings the bell. That's what we've been studying in Hebrews 11. Remember, it says they wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, dwelling caves and dens and so forth. Time will tell us, faith will tell again, and so on. That's who Paul was referring to. Well, the Israelites, the Jews, it said that, verse 3, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the children of the east, everybody was against them. Everybody was against them. And camped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth. Seemed like they just couldn't get ahead. Whatever they planned, they destroyed. They just could not get ahead. And the enemies were without number, it said. So many against so few. And Israel was greatly impoverished. They were poor. They were poor people. Needy. Sinful people. They were God's people. And the world was against them. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. All right, here they are, and here we are, right? A sinful people who sin against the Lord. Whatever befalls us, we've earned it, right? The world is against us, wandering, dwelling in this world, strangers and pilgrims, sojourners, impoverished, poor and needy. And yet, believers cried to the Lord, cried to the Lord. And what does the Lord do? Look at verse 7 and 8. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet. This was the Lord's answer to those poor and needy and beleaguered and troubled and tried and persecuted. Wandering people sent preachers. He sent a preacher. Now I know that these are God's people. You know how I know that? Because just like Paul said of us, he said, I know, brethren, beloved, your election of God because our gospel is. And not in word only, but in power. The Holy Ghost is much. And so I know these are God's people here because God sent the gospel to them. He didn't send it to the Midianites and the Amalekites or the people from the east. He sent it to these people. These poor and needy people. All right? And look at what the preacher said to them. All he did, or all he said to them, was he just reminded them of what God had done for them. Right? He just reminded them of what all God the prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Here's God's message to you. I brought you up from Egypt. I chose you. I predestinated you. I called you. Read on. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you. I called, I predestinated you, I called you, I justified you, I glorified you. Read on. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. I ransomed you by my blood. And out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you, I put away your sin, what it says in the and gave you their land, everything you have by my grace. Cradle till now, everything you are and have by my God. Now they have forgotten the mercy of the Lord, haven't they? And the prophet just reminds them of God's past mercies to them. And like Barnard said, anything inside hell, mercy. We have no cause for complaint in whatever situation we get into, because God is merciful up to this point. Great mercy, abundant the rest. And if he stops it, if he cuts us off, there's no complaint. So what the prophet does is just remind them, now, I've been mighty good to you up to this point. And not one word of my promise you faith. Not one word. Your faith is faith. And you have faith. And I faith not. Our God faith fails not. So he reminds them of all he had done for them. And surely he will continue to do so. Verse 10, he said, and I said unto you, and here's the thing that he most reminds them of. He said, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Here. I said unto you, I told you, I didn't say this to the Midianites. I didn't say this to the Amalekites. I didn't say this to anybody of you. Thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be smallest among the nations. I didn't choose you because you're more than me, which is this. And other places said, because the Lord thy God loved you, therefore he chastened you. But the Lord says unto his people, the Lord reveals himself unto his people. He said, I told you, I am, fear not. I didn't tell that to anybody. And I thought about all these people in the world today who say, who claim that Christ never said he was God. And he didn't speak to it. He hasn't spoken to. He hasn't revealed himself to everyone, but he's revealed himself to them. And what he's told us was same thing. I am, fear not. Most don't believe Christ is God. They claim he never said so, but he says that plainly to his people. He said, I am. Over and over again, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the door. I am the bread. I am. He said, you call me Lord and Master. You say, wherefore? I am. He tells his people that. And as Brother Niter pointed out one time, he said, the thing Christ said to his people more than anything else was, you remember? We're going to see all the way through here, same voice, same person. All right, this word came to the people through a prophet. All right, the prophet was the one who was saying it. Who was speaking? Christ. But it was through a man, wasn't it? Right? It was Christ. And didn't Paul say, I thank God? In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, I thank God that when you receive the word, you receive it as it is, the word of God, not poison. this prophet was speaking, it was God speaking. And he said he always speaks for two or three of them. That was through a man, he always speaks. Somebody here needs to hear. Earthen vessel it may be. All right. Not the words of a man, the angel of the Lord. And now here's the angel of the Lord in Gideon. All right? Verse 11. So there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which has been Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash, or that is on the land of this man named Joash, Abi Ezrah, and his son Gideon, fresh wheat by the wine press, hide it from the Midianite. The angel of the Lord. Now, there's several Old Testament appearances of angel of the Lord. So, there's two appearances here in the book of Judges. Wonderful appearances. If you recall, the other one is in Judges 13, and Noah and his wife. It's not one more wonderful passage, a more clear gospel message in all the Bible than Noah and his wife, when the angel of the Lord appeared to them. Well, who is this angel? It's none other than Jesus Christ himself. The bodily appearance of Jesus Christ himself. How do you know, preacher? Because whenever man hears and sees God, he's going to hear and see God. Now, nobody has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So any bodily appearance, which is plain that it's the Lord, that's Christ himself. Now, Christ appears to a certain chosen man. Gideon is his name. Gideon. And, my. We talk about types of Christ here. Everything in this story is a type of Christ. Gideon's type, the angel's type, sacrifice's type, the altar's type. Everything in here. Because Christ is all in him. But, in many ways, Gideon represents Christ, the deliverer. You know, as we read, Gideon was sent to deliver the people. But I believe he best represents, Gideon best represents either the gospel preacher or every believer who receives the revelation of Christ to himself. And the angel of the Lord here now, this is Christ in person. We don't mean a title. He's here in person. The angel of the Lord. Now, Gideon means this. Gideon means elder. That's not country for fellow. F-E-L-L-E-R. It means feller. It means fellow who fells trees. All right? Feller. So then a feller of truth. Well, that's significant because the gospel in the hands of the Lord or in the hands of the instrument of the Lord is what he uses, like John said, to get to the roots of the matter. The axe is in God's hand. The axe doesn't boast itself against the one who wields it, you know. The axe is merely an instrument in the hand of the Lord. And that's the gospel of the gospel preacher, and the gospel gets to the root of the matter, the heart of the matter. Well, the Lord said to this fellow, Gideon, he said to this fellow, verse 12, and as the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He calls him a mighty man about. Why? We're going to sit here in a moment that he was firm. Right? He read with me. He doubted. He was afraid. But why did the Lord call him a mighty man of valor? Because the first thing he said to him, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Without them, you can do nothing. But God before us, who's going to stand in front of you? Now, the Lord is with that. That was his mind. That was his personal Noah. Noah, how was Noah anybody or anything? Because he found grace in the eyes of God. Right? What about Abraham? He was a 75-year-old out of work. Huh? God appeared to Abraham, called him out of his life. What about Moses? 40-year-old shepherd on the backside of the desert. Couldn't speak a lick. How's he going to speak for God? Because God was with him. What about Joshua? On and on it goes. And same holds true for us. Though we be little, though we be small, though we be nothing, if God be with us, fear not. And so it was. Or rather, he was with Gideon. And no one would stand before Gideon. And in this sense, Gideon is the type of Christ, isn't it? God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It says Gideon, Brother John pointed this out to me, as Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press. He was there by himself, threshing wheat in the wine press. Well, I've heard that before. That Christ walked that wine press of God's wrath over him for us. And he was sent by God to deliver us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He's a mighty man of power, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, for here Gideon represents, he's a type of all who's called, who are called by God's grace. And it's not just a preacher, it's everybody. Because Gideon, here we're going to see, was unbelieving. Well, he was fearful. Joe sounded like he didn't believe a word that God had said or done and forgotten it, didn't he? And it's obvious he did not yet fully know who this was to talk to. Did he? He didn't know who this was. He said, Lord, reveal himself in sacrifice. Well, and he thought this was just a man. That's who he thought this was. Not the angel of the Lord. I mean, Gideon questions him. Verse 13. Gideon said unto him, Oh, my Lord, or sir. Stop, just notice all the words in my letter, in my capital. Oh, my Lord, or sir. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this upon us? And why do you say so? Why are we in this shape? Where be all his miracles which our father told us of? Preacher just said that. Just reminded us of how the Lord brought us out from Egypt and how the Lord has forsaken us, delivered us from that. He forgot their own sinfulness and everything after he was. I don't know. He'd forgotten the pit on which he did that. And I was reminded of the disciples, you know, that disciples asked the Lord many foolish questions, didn't they? Peter even one time rebuked the Lord. You're not going to Jerusalem. Okay. Everyone got it. Have you ever asked any foolish questions? Is there anything foolish run across your mind? Huh? Foolish questions are the result of our unbelief, is what they are. Why me? Where's the Lord? We are sinners separated us from God. Right? Didn't you? You're where you are because that's what you deserve, but you're not getting half of what you deserve. The Lord hath not dealt with us according to our ministry. No. And you're going to see he's going to give us double for all our ministry. But you are where you are, because that's where you need to be. See the glory of God. You're down low, you can see God high. Forget it for God. He was in there. All right? But look at here, verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him. Peter. I was immediately reminded when Peter denied the Lord. And the scripture says, the Lord turned and looked upon him. That's all he did. Those eyes can pierce the soul. Get down to the very joints and marrow and divide. Thoughts and intent of the heart, the Lord looked on him. And the Lord, the same Lord, looked on Gideon here. One look from the Lord. And Peter was filled with shame, convicted of his sin, went out and wept bitterly. One look from the Lord does it all. Now we look to him, one look to the Lord of Savior, one look from him will convince us. And encourage and comfort us. Well, look at what he said. This is what he said. The Lord looked upon us. He said, who this is? And say the angel of the Lord, says the Lord, capital letter, looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He doesn't do any explaining to him, does he? He doesn't answer this fool according to his promise. He just says, go. I said, go. Go in this thy might. What might? Said the Lord, thou mighty man of power. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? This is not Christ, type of believer. This is just interchangeable, Does this not picture our Lord, whom God sent? Christ calls himself the sent one, whom the Father had sent countless times in John's Gospel, whom the Father had sent to save his people from their sins. But I want you to listen here. The angel of the Lord here is Christ. I want you to listen to the Lord. All right? This is what I want you to take note of now. If we get a serious view. Listen to this Lord and see if you haven't heard this before. He says, have not I sent thee? And over in John 6, verse 70, I hear a voice that says, have not I chosen thee? Over in John 20, verse 21, says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Have not I chosen thee? I'm sending you. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I've heard that voice before. Read on. Verse 16. And the Lord said, he continues to speak. The voice of the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you. 28:20, I hear someone say, no, I am with thee, even unto the end of the world. Same one. And again, this is the angel of the Lord, the bodily presence, yet the Lord himself is speaking. And verse 15, he said unto him, verse 15, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. I'm the least. I'm poor. I'm less than the least. Well, blessed are the poor in spirit, and the least shall be called the greatest. And verse 16, he says, you're going to smite the Midianites. Here's your strength. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to smite the Midianite as one man. Where do we draw the line here? This is Christ who smote all by himself when he had by himself purged our sin. This one man. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin and forever, having obtained eternal redemption. By one man, we're saved, right? And by one man. Well, and God's people, Gideon, preachers, people alike, all believers, they are in unity as one. They're in Christ. And found in him. And by one man, that you say. Verse 17. And he said unto him, Gideon said unto the angel, if now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign. The Lord should have said, right, what I've said to you is enough. You don't need a sign. My word is good enough, but Lord, merciful. but it's slow to anger, couldn't be a severe thing. Okay, I'll show you a sign. What sign do we need? Huh? What sign? Well, it was the gospel, is what it gave him. Sign of God's grace, sign of God's favor, sign of God's acceptance, the gospel. That's what it gave. Verse 19 and 20. Gideon went in, made ready a kid. Oh, this is Christ and this is us. Christ who was made ready. That lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ who was that fatted calf made ready. Unleavened cakes, that's Christ. The sinless one, the bread of life, ephah, flour. But this is the believer who pleads Christ's sacrifice. And he brought this kid, this unleavened cakes, and the ephah, flour, and flesh. He put it in a basket. Look where he put it, Joe. He said he put the broth in a pot, brought it out, put it under the oak, presented it to him. The angel of God said unto him, take the flesh, the unleavened cake, lay it on a rock. Or it's not completely put on a rock. Slain animal, unleavened bread, on a rock. This all sounds very familiar to me. This is the gospel. These three come home. Verse 21. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. Oh, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. The word is the staff which touches the sacrifice and makes it live, makes it like fire. If not my word is a fire. And there arose up, he touched the flesh, so that is the sacrifice and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh, for that is received the sacrifice and the unleavened cake. And the angel of the Lord departed out of the sight. People, this is exactly what happened to Manoah. Same exact thing happened to Manoah and his wife. Same exact thing Elijah when he offered that sacrifice on Mount Carmel. Remember, we poured the water on the sacrifice and God consumed. This is the accepted sacrifice. We are accepted into the beloved, accepted in the kid, in the bread, on the rock. That's where the fire fell on Christ, the sacrifice on the cross. And the same sign which he gives to us, same sign he gave the apostles after he went to the cross, and then was sacrificed and ascended up to the Father. The gospel. Slain lamb, risen lamb. And look at Gideon's reaction here. And this is the reaction of every true child of God. When Gideon perceived, when he saw who this was, when he perceived that who he had heard from, when he perceived or saw, he heard with the hearing of the ear, and he saw the sacrifice on the altar, he said, alas, O Lord. Same reaction all of God's people here. He was struck with fear. See, this is that wisdom that makes a man wise in salvation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. No giddy fleshly familiarity here, no foolish nonsense, no carrying on, but this is a man realizing what he is before Christ, holy God, and seeing Christ crucified in his stead, Christ giving what he deserved, all his acceptance in Christ, convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Here, he filled and says, alas. I've always said, alas, oh Lord, alas. Well, listen to this voice. Have you heard this voice before? Verse 23. Have you heard this voice before? And the Lord said unto him, I thought he left. Well, I thought he left. He said he left. Oh, no, he said he left. He said, and here's what he said. Peace.
indeed, huh? Fear not.
And to all those that look for him shall he appear and without him peace be on you. That's exactly what the Lord did when he appeared to his disciples after offering up that bloody offering and ascending into hell. And he came and said, peace be on you. Fear not. Be not afraid. It is I. And look at verse 24. Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah.
Well, do you know who Jehovah Jireh is? No, I can't say that I've ever heard that name. I don't guess he spoke to you then, has he? Had to reveal himself to you. Genesis 22, if I ever believe it, read that. Jehovah Shalom, you know who that is? Jehovah? We worship. I'm a Jehovah Witness. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you who he is. He said, peace I live with you. My peace. Paul said it a little more succinctly. He said in Colossians, he is our peace. Jehovah Shalom is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, after hearing and seeing and being called by the Lord and witnessing this gospel, Gideon, look what Gideon must do. Something has to be done. Look what he does. He's going to have to tear down his father's idols. False God. He may have had something to do with that. He may have been in on that. He was around it. He tolerated it. But he turned from idol to servant. And he's going to tear him down. Look at verse 25 and 26. I love that. Judges 6, verse 25 and 26. It said, came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take your father's bullock, second bullock of 7 years, throw down the altar of Baal. Father had. Cut out the grove, it was by, build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the order of this place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove which you should cut down. Make an altar to the Lord thy God and sacrifice everything on this same bloody rock. Everything's going to be consumed on this bloody rock. And in an orderly manner. You see that? In the ordered place. On this rock, in the ordered place. Didn't he tell Moses up on the mountain? He said, see that you make all things. That's the order of things. One Lord, one faith, one way of worshiping, one manner, one order of worship. Right? One way. One way. All others are false. Well, old Gideon tore down his dad's religious house. He tore down his dad's house. And you know, I think it's opened his dad's eyes. Did you read that with me? Look at verse 30 and 32, through 32. Men of the city said to Joash, his dad, bring out your son, he may die. Oh, and all this is a picture of Christ, too. Big time. This is the reason Paul said in Hebrews 11, he said, time and fella tell him. Remember he said that? We don't have time to tell about you. Well, this is all a picture of Christ, but in the context here. Joash said, or the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal. He cut down the grove with his body. Why, he tore down your God. And Joash said, Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that
Babel can't say, he must be led.
That's exactly what Joab came to the conclusion. Wait a minute now. We're gonna have to
plead for Babel. Why doesn't he do it?
That's what he said, Joab.
You ain't gonna have to fight for him. He can't say unless we let him. That this mere man is gonna mess up his plans. Well, I tell you what, let's just let Baal do his own fight.
If he be a god. You remember Elijah said, well, he must be taking a business somewhere. He had a business to attend to. If he's a god, let him bleed for himself. Let him a little man cast down his altar. And it opened his eyes, I believe, and that day he called his son Jerome. He said, let Baal plead with me. Let Baal plead for himself. It's his altar. Oh my. And it's so much more to be seen here. Let me just conclude with this. Verse 34 said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. I've heard that trumpet. Have you? He blew a trumpet. That's the gospel sign, isn't it? And the people were gathered. They were gathered to the sound of that trumpet. And messengers, he called several messengers, and they all gathered. Around came up to me. And bless your heart. They are thankful. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to try to make a manifest the Savior of his life and us in every little place. All right, let's thank you. Our Father, we just rejoice and marvel at your word, which is we hear things like Paul said that it is impossible things, too wonderful for us, as Job said. And the half has never been told. We sure thank you for what you have revealed unto us and ask that you would plant it in our hearts, increase our faith. Lord, we plead, move just like me. Since you've called us by your grace, revealed your Son to us, and we won't die, and he'll be with us forever. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.